Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the Conquering Lamb of Revelation, and this is day 15, the Song of the Lamb, Revelation 15, 2 through 4. Let's pray together. O Lord, as we seek you this morning, this day, we pray that your Spirit would be upon us, that you would be upon our ears and our mind as we open up your word, that we might not just leave your word with intellectual discoveries, but heart openness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've left our vision of the 144,000 who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Now we read that the earth is harvested and judgment is described as the great winepress of the wrath of God. Revelation 14:19. Now John is about to see the seven angels with seven plagues coming to complete the outpouring of the wrath of God. But before this happens, the scene moves to a crowd of people with harps in their hands, singing the Song of the Lamb. I'm reading from Revelation 15:2. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. The location seems to be the throne room, since the sea of glass is mentioned. This time the sea of glass is mingled with fire. The singers aren't numbered, but their identity is given. Those who have conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name. Let's give the characters in this scene a further look. The beast rising out of the sea is a symbol for the Antichrist, who is a puppet of Satan, the dragon, Revelation 13:2. Image. The false prophet, the beast rising out of the sea, has been working to get people to worship an image of the beast. Number. The number of the name of the beast is 666 that marks all the Antichrist's followers. The 144,000, on the other hand, bear the names of the Lamb and the Father. Those who have conquered may well be the martyrs who have given their lives for Jesus rather than deny him, the ones coming out of the great tribulation. I'm reading from Revelation 12:11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, because they loved not their lives even unto death. The singers are standing beside the sea of glass with harps in their hands. Everyone carries an instrument used to accompany their singing. We're not sure what this harp looked like. In the Psalms, two kinds of stringed instruments are mentioned, the lyre or kinnor, and the larger nebel, plucked with the fingers. Psalm 33 commands us, "Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings, sing to him a new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts." The modern-day equivalent of a plucked instrument, of course, might be a guitar, a mandolin, or a bass. They're not just playing harps, they're singing. Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses refers to the victory song sung by the people after crossing the Red Sea in Exodus 15:1-3, rejoicing in Yahweh's glorious victory over Pharaoh's army. It is all about God. The song of the Lamb is similar. It, too, gives praise to God, who has brought victory over Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and their armies. Let's meditate on the Song of the Lamb, line by line. Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come to you and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. God's deeds are spectacular, numerous, and worthy of amazement. Just consider the wonders in the sky above and the earth beneath as the angels open the seals and pour out the bowls of wrath. Shock and awe don't begin to measure our reaction. God's ways are just and true. Miracles can be counterfeited, but righteousness and truth cannot be faked. God's ways, even his terrible judgments, are just and true. God's titles reflect his exalted nature. He is called Lord God the Almighty, which corresponds to the Hebrew titles of Lord Yahweh, God Elohim, and the Almighty El Shaddai. He is also titled King of the Nations, King of the Ages, King of the Saints. Each nation has its ruler, its king, but God is the King of Kings, the great suzerain before whom all lesser kings prostrate themselves. He is the King of the Nations. Verse 4 discusses the implications of this fact among the nations of the world. The plural Greek noun is ethnos, from which we get our word ethnic. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. I am excited when I read this, just as I am when I read about the white-robed saints standing before the throne from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Revelation 7:9. The Israelites tended to be quite nationalistic and often despised the nations or the Gentiles, probably because of the pagan practices of the nations were so repugnant to God's holiness. But there is a strong theme in both Testaments that God will save the nations of the world, and they will recognize God's universal kingship over all kings and nations, reverence and fear him, and come to Jerusalem, to Zion, to worship, bringing their wealth with them. The classic passage is found in Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. Part of this great turning to God among the nations is the result of the evangelization of the whole world that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The invitation is being proclaimed in our day to all people groups, but the invitation to the nations had also been issued long ago in Isaiah's time. Isaiah 45:22-23. Turn to me and be saved, all the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. There will come a time when Christ returns in all his glory, that the nations and their kings will all recognize his preeminence and bow before him. This is the time when the promise of Philippians 2:10-11 is fulfilled, that we've seen before. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This does not, however, promise universal salvation, that ultimately all will be saved. Many will praise the Lord, but all will kneel. When Christ appears in his glory, all nations will realize that he is king, though for some it will be, sadly, too late. Matthew 24:30. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. I am the descendant of some of these pagan nations who have been saved. My people came from the pagan Picts and Celts and Norsemen. So I am thankful for men like St. Patrick and St. Columba who brought the gospel of salvation to my people. Whatever your ethnic heritage, you probably experienced the same grace of salvation of the nations. On that day when Christ returns, the song of the Lamb will celebrate this. But in spite of our forebears' past sins, Jesus died to bring all nations to the Lord, to redeem them by his blood. This is the song of the Lamb that we can join in also, that all nations will come and worship you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing salvation to my pagan forefathers. You are merciful. Now I pray that you will bring a mighty wave of revival across the Americas and Europe, over Asia, Africa, and the islands of the sea, that many, many will come into your kingdom in a new wave of salvation before you come, that all nations will come and worship you. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Our day 15 meditation is from Revelation 15:2-4. In what way is the song of the Lamb like the song of Moses that was sung after crossing the Red Sea? Why do you think voices accompanied by instruments is pleasing to God? What will it take for all nations to come to the Lamb in our own day? Hey friends, go out and serve the Lord today with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen.